My guest is comic Emo Phillips. As Emo tells it, he was born in Chicago, and when he was 10, his parents moved to Downers Grove, Illinois. When he was 12, he found them. Emo suffered from asthma and was beaten up by bullies, but this sad childhood is now a rich source of material for his act. Emo's big break came after his first appearance on Late Night with David Letterman. He recently had an HBO special, which is the basis of his new record album, Live at the Hasty Pudding Theater. Emo says that when he performs, he wants people to see the show and walk out afterwards saying, "Well, we got that over with." Emo is tall and gawky and has a Prince Valiant haircut. He acts like he never quite grew up. He appears in patterned polyester pants, belted above the waist, tight-fitting pajama tops from the boys' department, and tongueless shoes. I couldn't see Emo during our interview since he was at the NPR studio in New York, so I asked him what he was wearing.
Well, I'm in a sequined outfit. There's little bangles coming down from my breasts, and it's real nice. And I'm wearing hip-high nylon boots, and a Viking helmet.
Did anyone pick on you on the way over dressed like that?
Actually, I'm kidding. It's the radio. Actually, I'm dressed in a 14th century Florentine nobleman outfit.
Do you ever dress as a normal person so that people don't recognize you on the street?
Well, people always recognize me. I'll walk down the street and people will say, "You're Emo, you're Emo." And they'll give me a subpoena.
Do you accept?
Oh, yeah. I accept it very well, or else a regular-sized one. You know Terry?
Yes.
You know what, Terry? You're a hot mama. I'm quite handy with the ladies myself, you know. You probably think you're superior to my girlfriend, don't you? Just because you're real. Well, little Miss Tangible, I'm sorry. Go on.
So you have a girlfriend, huh, Emo?
Yeah. She's sexy, you know. She makes me wish I never had that accident through the turnstile.
Do you ever have to prove your masculinity with her?
Only with geometric proofs. Like on a blackboard, I'll write, like, given A, Emo is a man. And, you know, we prove it, you know, abstractly.
I bet women are very protective of you because you seem so vulnerable.
Woman protective? Yeah, I'm very vulnerable, actually. You should see the wounds. But you can't be too careful these days, right, Terry?
That's right, and I'm sure you know from experience.
Yeah, well, I just said so. If you weren't so busy shooting up during that one, maybe... I'm sorry, I'm bitter today. You know what, Terry?
What?
Some mornings, it just doesn't pay to gnaw through those leather straps.
Emo, were you bullied a lot as a kid?
I was often beat up a lot, yeah, but it was okay, you know. I mean, like Nietzsche said, that which doesn't kill me makes me stronger.
You grew up in a suburb of Chicago. Do you think it would have been worse in the city? Are kids less tough in the suburbs when it comes to beating you up?
Well, the only difference is in the suburbs, when they're beating you up, they knock off to watch Leave It to Beaver. But they will come right after you after it's over, you know. It was a pretty tough. I had my own street gang in Downers Grove. The Insane White Eunuchs and Connie Francis impersonators. And we were very tough. Once we were walking down the street, and this little patrol boy told us to stop, and we just ran across the street. The little fairy. He only caught like 12 of us.
Did you want to be an athlete when you were a kid?
Yes, Terry. I often played baseball. I was always the catcher, which I liked. Until one day I saw a game on television, and I said, "Well, hold on there now. How come that catcher doesn't have his hands tied to his ankles?"
Did the athletic kids make you nervous because you couldn't be like them?
Well, actually, I'm very athletic, you know. I'm pretty athletic. I mean, when I was a little boy, the other kids always played tetherball with me because I had a weak neck.
Did you stay in your...
Your turn.
Oh, I don't have any water. I can't gargle. Oh. Did you stay in your room a lot as a kid, watching television?
Well, I used to read books a lot. And I was always a bookworm. But I like to read books even now. You know what I'm reading?
What?
I'm reading two books at a time now because I'm so busy. Right now I'm reading, it's by, I think, Henry James Joyce, and it's called Portrait of a Lady as a Young Man. It's about this transvestite in Ireland, I believe.
When did you become aware that ambiguity is the devil's volleyball?
Well, I was in a movie theater, and this guy said, "Excuse me, is this seat saved?" I said, "Well, if Aquinas reasoned that even animals have no souls, I mean, how much less chance does an inanimate object like a chair have of gaining salvation, Mr. Theologian?" And he said, "No, I mean, is anyone sitting here?" So ambiguity is the devil's volleyball, or bocce ball, as they say in New Jersey.
Are you as sensitive to the dangers of paradox and synonyms and double meanings?
Oh, yes. I was at a party, you know, with my nephew. He said, "Uncle Emo, I'm sorry, what was the question?"
Are you as sensitive to the dangers of paradox and double meanings and synonyms?
Yes, indeed. I was at a party with my nephew, and I said, "Okay, blow up the candles on the coleslaw." He said, "I want to make a wish. I want to make a wish." So I grab him by the ankles and start spinning him. He goes, "Whish, whish, whish." See, I knew what he really meant, Terry, but I thought, what a good time to warn him about the dangers of homonyms. Does that answer your question?
Absolutely.
Okay. All these people are in the studio right now looking at me through the glass, wondering why I'm not talking about Nicaragua.
We get to that later, so tell them not to worry.
Okay, this is National Public Radio.
Emo, are you secretly a well-adjusted person underneath it all?
I have a very well-adjusted attitude toward life, you know, Terry. I try to live the kind of a life so that when I die, there won't be that much of a drop-off.
Are you going to have children?
Well, Terry, that all depends on you.
Uh-huh.
But I wouldn't mind having a couple of kids that I could probably call my own. I love children. My sister had me babysit the other day, and I'm pushing him through the park, and he's crying, you know, because I forgot the stroller.
Well, what about your parents? What do they think of you? I mean, the way you turned out isn't exactly a testament to their great parenting skills, huh?
Oh, yes, it is. I mean, if my mom could see me here today, she'd say, "Emo, how did you escape from the attic?"
Emo, you sing some good songs now. Did you ever write songs when you were a kid, and can you remember any that you would sing for us?
When I was just a little boy, I asked my mother, "What will I be? Will I be pretty? Will I be rich?" Here's what she said to me. "Buzz off, scum."
You know, you didn't write that whole song yourself.
No?
No.
Oh, well, that's good. I thought for a second I was Doris Day.
Did you ever meet Pee Wee Herman?
Oh, no, it's been one of the great chinks in my cultural armor that I haven't.
Would you want to?
I like Pee Wee. Personally, I think I lack his maturity.
There's one last thing I really do want to ask you. You have terrific enunciation. You really do.
Thank you. Well, I try to say every word as if it were my last.
Okay. And with that, I'll thank you very much for doing the interview, Emo Phillips.
Well, maybe I could take your job if I have good enunciation.
We'll talk about that.
Okay. Thank you very much, Terry. Nice to meet a girl of the cloth.
That's comic Emo Phillips. His first album, E equals MO squared, features this tribute to his hometown.